season. And you know we love our first-time guests. He's a journalist for Yahoo Sports, hosts a podcast called The Exempt List. You could learn about it, follow along on Twitter. The handle is @ForVerts. As we welcome in Charles McDonald. Charles, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
Doing good, doing good. Just getting ready for the season. It's kind of crazy that we're here, and about 24-ish hours, we'll be watching the Ravens and the Chiefs kick off. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a fun year. And I also want to shout out the new podcast. We've also started a Yahoo called Football 301 that I do with Nate Tyson and Matt Harmon. So yeah, just checking everything we're doing over at Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, no, you guys do terrific work. Obviously, I'm here in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of Seahawk fans. I have not heard much good or bad this offseason about Seattle. I know they've got some issues up front. It's the dawn of a new day with Pete Carroll out, former Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald at the helm. So as we kind of dive into the season, what's your read on this Seattle team?
Oh, it's tough because they're like with every other good team. You know, there's parts that you like and parts you don't like. I'm a big fan of Geno Smith. I think at this point he might be like the best quarterback contract value in the league for what he's giving you on the other side. But it's tough. Like when the offensive line plays like they did last year, it's tough when the defense can't get off the can't get off the field before third down because the rush defense is so bad. But, you hire someone like Mike Ballant to come in and hopefully fix these things. So you've made good progress by getting someone like Brian Murphy on the defensive line. You got to hope that you can get something out of Tremont Jones that they didn't see last year. Maybe linebacker is a little spotty, but, like, the defensive line should be good enough where you're not, getting stampeded by the Steelers late in the season and really struggling there. And I'm, on offense, I'm really interested to see, how Ryan Grubbs, how he kind of meshes this wide receiver room together, because it's talented with Lockett, Smith and Jigba, and obviously DK Metcalf. And for a first-year offensive coordinator, like having a quarterback that knows where to get the ball out, knows how to beat pass rush, knows how to throw the ball down the field, paired with these guys, like there's a lot of room for this Seattle team to improve, and I think like make the playoffs. I don't know if they're ready to challenge like the 49ers for the NFC West, but this is still what I think is a pretty good team. It just comes down to, what can Mike McDonald do to shore up the defense? You've got the weapons there. Devon Witherspoon should have a huge year, maybe playing some like that same role that Kyle Hamilton did last year in Baltimore, and then shoring up the offensive line. So, like, if you can get the really just like the front shore up on both sides, I think this could be a pretty good year for Seattle.
Yeah, Charles, I love the fact that you talked about a guy signs a 3-year, $75 million deal, and it's like a bargain basement price for a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really is, though. Like, even Baker Mayfield's making more money than him now.
No, it's crazy. Hey, if somebody wants to sign me at a bargain basement price for 3 years, $75 million, I'm all in. I won't hold out. I give you my word.
I won't even negotiate.
Yeah. it's been an interesting preseason in San Francisco. Now they've got everybody signed. I mean, then the horror of Randy Pearsall getting shot. Thankfully, he's okay. They still have Purdy on the rookie deal. They lost Chase Young, Arik Armstead on the line. They got Leonard Floyd. How legit do you have the Niners contending in the NFC?
it's legit. It's legit. And I think that this year is actually going to be interesting for them because there's a chance this could be the last year we see them like with the full Avengers squad on offense because, they just paid Brandon Ayuk, they just paid Trent Williams, they just gave Christian McCaffrey, adjusted his contract, this is going to give him some more money. We all know the Brock Purdy deal is coming down the pipeline pretty soon, so this is going to get real tight real quick. So maybe there's a sense of urgency to kind of get this done this year after, you got so close so many years, whether it's an NFC title game or two Super Bowls, you've been right on the doorstep of kind of closing the season out the way you want. You just haven't quite gotten there. So I think that this is still obviously one of the best defenses, one of the best teams in the league. What concerns me a little bit, like if I were a 49ers fan, maybe the defense not being quite up to par where where you've seen them be like a top five unit throughout the whole season, or you know, even last year where they were mostly like a top 10 unit, because you've had some drain due to, you know, defensive coordinators leaving. You've got some drain due to players getting a little bit older. But, you know, you still got Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and Hufanga coming back from injury. So it's still like a good defense, maybe just not as complete as it's been in years past. But, you know, anytime you can pull up an offense that has all the players I just listed, your goal is to be the Super Bowl. I still think they're the best team in the NFC. It just might be like a little bit harder for them this year than it has in previous years.
Talking NFL, Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports. We are on the Oregon flagship station. I got a hit on the Broncos, Bo Nix. You talked about it on your Football 301 podcast, from his fit in the Sean Payton offense to, I don't know, maybe trying to convince people he was worthy of the 12th overall pick. So what's your take on this move and this particular team who opens at Seattle Sunday?
Man, the Bo Nix stuff is so interesting to me because, so for those who don't know, I'm a diehard Georgia Bulldogs fan. So I've been following Bo Nix for a really long time, back when he was the quarterback at Auburn, and they would play against Georgia, and I'd be like, man, what is this? Like, Auburn needs to find a new quarterback, right? Because it really did look that bad at times. And then he goes to Oregon, and you get to play. Quite frankly, just to be truthful, you get to play with better players than you were at Auburn. You get to play in a more stable ecosystem, and he puts up like two just ruthlessly efficient, like from a metric standpoint, seasons in college football where, you know, you're going for like 10 yards of pass, you're going for a bunch of touchdowns, not many interceptions. It was a really nice setup for him. But when you start projecting to the NFL, you know, it's not just I completed 70% of my passes. It's about traits. Because, you know, we've seen guys like Josh Allen come in who had a pretty rough college career, and he's figured it out, mostly because he can throw it over the moon and he runs a 4-5. And I think we've seen like other guys have maybe not be the dynamite producers in college to turn out to be really good NFL quarterbacks. But Bo Nix is just like it feels like the people who have become fans of this have – compared him to the worst version that we saw of Drew Brees. You know, like the Drew Brees where it's like, yeah, I can't really throw down the field, but I've been playing for 20 years, so I know what the defense is going to do, and we can still move down the field that way. But you're starting there with Bo Nix, because I think what people forget about Drew Brees, because he spent most of his, you know, the bulk of his career that we became familiar with late in New Orleans, where he's kind of a statue. It's like Drew was not that when he first got to the NFL. He was a good athlete. He had a live arm. And then as the years go on, he gets to the injured status where, oh, I can't really move, I can't really throw it, so we got to run this five-yard offense. But that's where the Bo Nix fans are, like, starting. So I'm trying to figure out, best-case scenario, like, what's your ceiling here? Like, you get enough time where Bo Nix has enough reps where it starts to make sense to him and he can kind of overcome the skill set? I don't know. To me, it just seems like you capped your ceiling a little bit too low. And that's not the kind of swing you should be making when you're going with the 12th pick. And also, the weird thing about the pick to me was the Broncos were the only team that was rumored for Nix in the first round. So I don't know, especially after you lose all the dead cap for Russell Wilson, you have the second-round pick missing because you hired Sean Payton from the Saints. I'm not sure why you wouldn't trade down and get some picks, but they seem to have this hubris that everyone else is wrong and they're correct. And we'll see you soon. I just think you've limited yourself too much on offense with him as your starting quarterback, especially in a division where you have to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year. Like, you tell me you're coming after Patrick Mahomes and Bo Nix? I don't really get it. But maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong, because more quarterbacks than this would be.
Well, speaking of Oregon, let's and the division, let's get to Justin and the Chargers. Obviously, some of the biggest news was Harbaugh going back in the league from Michigan. Yep. Hopefully Justin is healthy. They lose Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. So a lot of new faces on offense. I'm kind of all over the place on this team. Charles, what's your take on maybe the season that lies ahead for the Bolts?
I think people need to be patient with this team, right? Because, look, the thing that I keep coming back to with the Chargers, you go back to the draft, right? You go to discussions. Is it Joe Alt or Neighbors? Who do you take? Well, the truth is they needed both. Like, they picked fifth for a reason. And I know that Justin Herbert was out for a good chunk of like the back half of last season, but this is a team that lost 63-21 to the damn Las Vegas Raiders. Like, it's not even like they lost to the 49ers. So they lost 63-21 to like Aiden O'Connell. Okay, this is, and I'm with you. Like, I'm really excited about Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a great fit for Justin Herbert. I think that Justin Herbert's gonna be a better fit in the Greg Roman offense than people give it credit for. But they're starting from such a talent deficit where you look at even the wide receiver position, right? Last year, I know that Mike Williams was banged up, but like, you walk into the season where, okay, we have Keenan Allen, we have Mike Williams, we have supposed successor in Quentin Johnston. Fast forward a year, Keenan's gone, Mike's gone, Quentin Johnston's like fourth on the depth chart, and now you're looking at, you know, day three rookies or day three draft picks from the past and Ladd McConkey, and it's like, I don't know. Joe Alt, he's going to need time to get going because he's a rookie. I like the vision. I see the vision. I just think that, you know, we're talking about a team that picked top five, and I think their roster quality was around the top five pick, like especially once you start cutting away Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you start restructuring guys and changing their contracts in the future. So I think they're going to be like a feisty, like 7-10 team, but 2025 is when they really start to take off.
It's interesting you mentioned neighbors because I'm an old Giants fan. I'm talking, I saw Fran Tarkenton play at Yankee Stadium. By the way, speaking of Georgia, I don't have a lot of hope. I'm not big on Danny Dimes. I love the neighbors pick. They had to rework their line. They lost their defensive coordinator to Michigan.
Yeah.
Talk me out of the doldrums here, or do you think I should prepare for a long, miserable season?
I mean, depends on what you would define miserable as. I think it'll be better than last year. To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure that they actually got worse, the defensive coordinator. I know Wink's a good mind, but, you know, he has his faults at times where he puts a little bit too much stress on cornerbacks who may not be up to task. But you have Shane Bowen, who to me, I thought was one of the better defensive coordinators over the past few years with the Titans. And look, I'm on the defense. I think you'll actually be surprised at how competent they are this year on that side of the ball. You got a front seven. Deontay Banks is going to take another step. Hopefully Tyler Newbin can take that step as a rookie safety. But that side of the ball actually has some dudes. Offense, man, I don't know. I don't think it would be the worst offensive line in the world that you ever saw, like last year, but you're still kind of looking at, all right, we got a stud, like a potential future Hall of Famer in Andrew Thomas if he can stay healthy. All right, now this is a group that's some of its parts. So John Michael Smith might be okay. The rest, I don't really know. I think we're going to have to see it in action. The running game, I'm not excited about at all. I think it might be a little tough for them. I think with the offense, you're just hoping for explosive plays, right? If you just hope that you can get enough conversions on like third and eight with neighbors and Daniel Jones, that's probably your way to a Washington season. But the problem is with this Giants team, I think they're going to be like the classic case of good defense, bad offense, where every game is just a rock fight and it gets kind of boring after a while. But Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, that's a good deal to build a threat up front.
All right. I'm canceling my appointment on our local bridge for now. Couple final thoughts for Charles McDonald. Yahoo Sports on Twitter. It's at 4Verts. The Ravens seemed to have the path last year. One seed, top defense, fourth best scoring team. They had the Chiefs come into their place, held them to 17 points, and the offense went in the tank. Tough division. Where do you have Baltimore, I guess, in your AFC hierarchy?
I still think you should put them right up there with the Chiefs. I would still take them with the AFC North. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in it at the end again. Because I think sometimes we fall into this trap of saying, oh, we haven't seen this team get to the big game, means they can't. Which I would say, if you're in the you're in a dogfight in the AFC Championship game in the fourth quarter, you can obviously make it to the Super Bowl. Like, you're right there. It's just, you know, a couple bounces don't go your way, and we saw how that one went. But when you look at Baltimore, man, I know Mike McDonald's gone to Seattle, but you got Zach Orr, who not only played for the team but also coached, you know, for a long time before getting the defensive coordinator job. You got basically the same exact defense coming back that was one of the best in the league last year.
Maybe you lose Patrick Queen, but they've been preparing for this. I drafted Trent Clinton a couple of years ago to fill that spot next to Roquan Smith. And quite honestly, if you got Roquan Smith, I don't know how much it matters who's next in. But I think this might be the best secondary in football, where you have Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams. We saw Nate Wiggins just have an incredible preseason as a rookie, so maybe he's ready to step up. And an underrated guy they have is Brandon Stevens, the other cornerbacks. Like, this is a really, really, really good defense. The only issues where I really get scared with them is on offensive line. I think that could be a tough spot for them, like they put in three new starters and a couple of those guys, like day three picks from the last few years. We'll see what happens there. But I will say, if there was any quarterback that I would want to have, if my offensive line was shaky, it would probably be the one that they have, outside of like Mahomes or Josh Allen. And then Derrick Henry, we'll see what he's got left in the tank. But he might be one of those rare guys in this new era that can just continue to take like 250 carries every year. You know, kind of like the guys who were, you know, back in the early 2000s and late 90s and the 80s and stuff like that. But this is still a good team. And I get the pitfalls, I get the concerns, but when you just start stacking the talent on the roster and some of the depth they have on defense, I would still be pretty excited about it.
And to close, I mean, obviously we know the Chiefs are going through the three-peat. Houston's on the come. Is it Tua time? There's so many questions. I can't go over every team with you, although I'd love to. So of the teams I haven't asked you about, like, what's your lean? Who do you see as the other legit contenders to make it to Super Sunday?
Oh, that's a good question. I really do think the Browns are interesting because they're – Even last year, right, where you look at what happened to them in the wild card round where they just got eviscerated by the Texans, you start talking about these one-game sample size, and that was a blip on the radar compared to what the Browns' defense was the rest of the year. Like, if they're going to come back and still be right up there with Baltimore as the best defense in football, and you can get anything from Deshaun Watson, like anything, because they haven't gotten much of anything from him so far. Like, he's only played in 12 games as the Browns quarterback so far, six last season, six the season before. A lot of money, a lot of draft picks to get, absolutely nothing, but you still made the playoffs with him not on the field. So you got to hope if you can just get anything where he's like a top 16, top half of the league quarterback, maybe you could go on a Super Bowl run because defense is that good. That's what contender that I've really got an eye on, because it's just like you're a quarterback away, but you already – paid a whole lot to acquire the quarterback.
Well, we know they haven't won it. Put it this way, the last time they won it, I wasn't even in kindergarten yet, and now I'm a three-time grandfather, so it's been a while. Folks, he's Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports. Check out the Exempt List podcast and the other one. Which one is it? And you can get it on Football. Apple, right?
Football 301, yeah, with Nate Tice.
All right. On Twitter, use the handle at 4verts. You can get all the info. Hey, Charles, great having you. So much good information. Be well. Enjoy the start of the new year. And look forward to talking again as the season moves along.
Absolutely. See you guys.
All right. Take it easy.